We are reading from text 34 today, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter. Bhagavan Brahma Karstne Yena Triran Vikshya Manishaya Tadad Dhyavasyat Kutastho Ratir Atmanyato Bhavet. The great personality Brahma, with great attention and concentration of the mind, studied the Vedas three times, and after scrutinizingly examining them, he ascertained that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is the highest perfection of religion. So he studied it three times. We've not studied even the entire Bhagavad Gita even once. He studied all the Vedas three times. And then he's understood that attraction for the Lord is the highest religion and not attraction for matter. Text 35. Bhagavan Sarva Bhuteshu Lakshita Swatmana Hari Drishyer Buddhyadi Bhir Drashta Lakshanairanumapakai. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living being, along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. So the Lord is there in every living entity as a super soul, and along with the individual soul. And this we can understand when we do our bhakti properly, and when we chant properly, and when we serve the devotees properly, then we can see that Lord Krishna is there in every individual soul. Now one may say, with every living being, not in every individual soul, he is with every living being in every body. Now one may say that the Lord is also there in the body of, say, Saddam Hussein, or in the body of Barack Obama. So then does that mean that we see the Lord in their heart and then we don't, we just respect them? Yes, we respect them because the Lord is there in the heart, but then if they, by their free will, are doing certain things that are not good, for the society in general, then out of compassion for the society, and also compassion for their very souls, sometimes you have to take certain steps. And so, you may think that, oh, my children have, the super soul in their heart, and then if they are hurt, or if I'm correcting them, if I'm getting upset with them, then the super soul, it's an offense to the super soul in their heart. But no, you cannot think like that. You have to think as a parent, your duty is to discipline the child. Why? So that the super soul can also be happy, because if the child does certain things and ends up in a certain way, it's a very uncomfortable environment for the super soul to reside over there. The super soul tolerates being in that kind of a situation. You have to help in, correcting, disciplining with loving compassion. With a lot of love and compassion. But sometimes you have to do certain things to protect them from themselves. So it's your duty to discipline, even if the super soul is there in the heart of the child. So text 36. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyasya avyascha smartavyo bhagavan rinam. O king, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. So much in our life, as described in this entire chapter, is dependent upon meditating on the Lord's lotus feet and constantly hearing about the Lord, constantly remembering the Lord and serving the devotees of the Lord. So we must do that, because unless we do that, we will be attracted to the wrong thing. But Brahma has already told us that we have to be attracted to Krishna. That is the goal. The purpose of any attraction is attraction to Krishna. Text 37. This is a very beautiful verse. I think this was in our test when we memorized it for the second canto, 36 and 37. Pibantiye bhagavatatmana satam kathamritam shravanaputeshu samhritam punantite vishaya vidushitashayam vrajanti tacharana saruruhantikam. So those who drink through oral reception, it says Shravana Puteshu. like hearing within the ear holes. So your the honey, the nectar is going through your ear holes, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees. Purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. We read this translation again. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of devotees, purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. So we've also read this in the first canto, second chapter. So if we are struggling with our anarthas, if we want to go further in Krishna consciousness, but we find a lot of things in our internal environment, inside of ourselves, is blocking our progress, because we have so much attraction for things different from Krishna, then our only hope is that we have to constantly hear the nectarian message of Lord Krishna. Every day hear Bhagavatam, every day read Bhagavad Gita, hear Bhagavad Gita, hear the holy name. So when we hear that, then this polluted aim of life of material enjoyment will go away. See, we are not Ashtanga yogis or we are not Buddhists. In Buddhists, everything is dependent upon your own endeavor. But as bhakti yogas, yogis, we understand that on our own endeavor, we have definitely have to do that. Be sincere and do it. But on our own endeavor, we will only be able to go a little bit ahead in this path. So we try sincerely, very sincerely, so that we can attract the mercy of the Lord. Now, for us to even try sincerely, you know, while dealing with our anarthas, we definitely need to keep hearing, because only then we will be a little bit purified to even try sincerely. And the rest is we need kripa. So this hearing is very, very important, because it will purify the heart so that we can try sincerely. And it's the means for the beginner and the means for an advanced devotee also. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord in the Heart. So we must meditate on Lord Shri Krishna. And how do we meditate on Lord Shri Krishna? By constantly hearing about Him, constantly thinking about His lotus feet, by engaging in service to Lord Shri Krishna and to His devotees. So when we are constantly engaged in service, then we are constantly thinking about that service, and because that service is connected to Krishna and His devotees, then that is also a meditation on Lord Krishna. So very important, and all this can be fully supported and helped by hearing. Without hearing, nothing is possible. So carefully hearing the holy name when we chant, and carefully hearing the holy name when we are carefully hearing the holy name when we are chanting, carefully hearing the holy name even when we are when you are hearing kirtan, and carefully hearing when we are hearing. We should try to hear, practice hearing without distraction. The more we do that, the more our mind becomes focused on the message, and it also helps in our chanting and vice versa. So now we will go to the third chapter, which says pure devotional service, the change in heart. So Sukh Maharaj Parikshit had asked some questions in text 19 of the first chapter 19 of the first canto, text 37 and 38. That is, what is the way of perfection for all persons, especially for those who are about to die, and what should a person hear, chant, worship and remember, and what he should not do? So Maharaj Parikshit had asked that question. So actually Sukadeva Goswami has answered that question in the first two chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But now, and then he's also defined who is an intelligent person. That is, one who can see the super soul. He defined Brahma is an intelligent person, and he understands that the purpose is to have attraction for Lord Krishna. And similarly, an intelligent person is someone who will be able to understand the Lord, perceive the super soul, like that. So now when we read this third chapter, we will see how Sukadeva Goswami, you know, he proves that he himself is very intelligent and thoughtful. He proves that Maharaj Parikshit himself is very intelligent himself and thoughtful. And then he asks further questions. Like, then Sukadeva Goswami will explain in this chapter about how, if you don't, you can worship other demigods to get other things also. And that process works. But it's only going to be a distraction. for one who really wants to make advancement in spiritual life, one should constantly worship the Lord. So texts 1 to 12 is going to describe the ultimate path is worshipping Krishna. So he'll describe all the different things you can do and worships you can do. But finally, the main thing that is going to help you is worship of Lord Shri Krishna. So we will try to cover some of these verses today. And we will end a little early so that we can have some discussion also. Text 1 of the 3rd chapter. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evametani Gaditam Prishtavanyad Bhavan Mama Ninam Yandriyamananam Manushyeshu Manishinam. So he is telling, you are an intelligent person, you are a Manishi, you are an intelligent man, to Maharaj Parikshit. So he says, Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to what is the duty of an intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. So what is our duty? To constantly hear, remember and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout our life. And so Prabhupada ends the purport. Last four lines he says, therefore, Manishinam, meaning thoughtful, is particularly used here. A Manishinam person like Maharaj Parikshit must therefore take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service, hearing, chanting, etc. of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord, which are all Hari Kathamrita. This action is especially recommended when one is preparing for death. So now in text 2 to 7, Sukadev Goswami is going to explain all the different demigods you can worship for different things that we want in our life. So he's already set the context here. Hey, if you want to achieve the highest success, you worship the Supreme Personality of God. But if you want other things, you can do all of these things and remain in this material world. So we will, in the interest of time, we will not read all these verses Sanskrit for texts 2 to 7 of the 3rd canto. But here Sukadev Goswami is explaining that we'll read the purport. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, that is Lord Brahma or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra, and one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire, and one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grain should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planet should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishwadeva. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as Ashwini Kumaras. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. And one who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residence of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvashi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. And one who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada is telling that all these things we can do. Ravana has done. Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva. He became a very powerful man by worshipping that. He had all this gold and everything. But when he was challenged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, he was ruined. So in other words, Prabhupada writes down in the 7th line of the purport, 6th line of the purport. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material sense or objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. It is said there that those who are bereft of all good sense, or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing various demigods or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. So, this human form of life is very, very valuable. don't want to waste it in trying to gain all of these things. You know, you already enjoyed all of these things in different lifetimes you have gone through. And the more you it's not that you need to have another level of enjoyment and experience it, and only then you will be able to go away. Then only your desire will be fulfilled. No, you have to be intelligent. Man, this is like a fatigue for me. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of what I'm doing all these different lifetimes. I just want to be an intelligent person like Maharaj Parikshit. And I just want to focus this one life I want to give to Krishna. So Prabhupada writes down towards the end of the purport, last seven lines, six lines. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by the Goswami as a Manishi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death, he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person, Shukadev Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are something like the intoxication of the degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life by returning home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada has said that. And this is what Sukadev Goswami is going to explain in the next four verses also. Text 8. Dharmartha uttama shlokam tantu tanvan pitran yajet raksha kama punya janan ojas kamo marud ganan. One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of a dynasty. One should worship the various demigods. So you can, and I think that powerful verse will come a little later, so maybe I'll save it to when Sukadev Goswami wants to speak. Text 9. Rajya kamo manun devan nirtim tvabhi charan yajet kamo kamo yajet somam akama purusham varam. One who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the manus. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demons. And one who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. But one who desires nothing, a kama, of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it says, akama purusham param. So when you don't desire anything material, you don't have any such desires to fulfill, then you should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? But now this verse is very, very important, and whoever wants to can memorize it. Text 10, Sudev Goswami says, akama sarva kamo va. We are on the third chapter, second canto. So we are only on the third chapter, second canto, verse 10. Come to the third chapter. You're on the fourth chapter, I think.
No, but you were just reading, one who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti, and then should worship Master Vedas.
Oh, so you're on the fourth verse. Okay, so now we are on the tenth verse.
Okay, got it.
Yes, you can scroll down, and you're on the tenth verse. So. Where are you reading from?
It says a person who has broad intelligence, whether he's...
Okay, yeah. No. You're on reading on the website?
Yes.
Okay, and does the address bar say chapter view? Like when you look up in the address bar of the browser, does it say 2/3/ chapter view? Yeah, you can go to chapter view, then you'll be able to see. And even if you can't see the Sanskrit, it's okay, you can follow the English.
Okay.
Yeah? Alright. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, text 10. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. We'll read it two more times. मोक्षकामोदारधी तीव्रेण भक्तियोगेन यजेत पुरुषं परम्। अकामः सर्वकामो वा मोक्षकामोदारधी तीव्रेण भक्तियोगेन यजेत पुरुषं परम्। Translation: A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the personality of Godhead. So we'll read this purport. Prabhupada has explained very nicely. So person with broader intelligence, right? We already talked about Manishi Nam, person with intelligence. So now, when we are intelligent, whether we are full of material desire, or without material desire, or we are desiring liberation. Full of material desire is where is sarva kamova, like one who has the sum total of material desires. Akama is without any material desires, one who has transcended it. Or moksha kama, one who desires liberation. But if he is of broader intelligence, udharadi, then with great force and by all means, tivrena, bhakti yogena, yajeta, one should worship the purusham param, the supreme whole. So we have seen, and when we read the fourth canto all of us together, we will see that in the fourth canto we see that Dhruva Maharaj desired to have a kingdom greater than his own grandfather, which is Lord Brahma. So what did he do? Or Manu? No, Brahma. Yeah, Manu. Maybe it was Manu or great grandfather. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, which was Manu, I think. So when he desired that, his mother advised him, whatever it is, you should worship the Lord. So, because he had that material desire and he worshipped the Lord, what happened is the Lord purified him of his material desires and also awarded him with a kingdom. Because then he could properly rule the kingdom as a service to the Lord. But if he was not purified of his desire and if he was given the kingdom, then he would use it for his sense gratification. So, the idea is that for whatever it is, we should worship the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord will also purify you and attract you towards Him. On the other hand, if you worship the Devis and Devtas, they will give you what you deserve, but you may not become purified of your material desire. So this is a very powerful thing. Whatever you want, go to Krishna, because He is the one, right? So we will read from the second paragraph of the purport. Is Sangeeta, would you be able to read?
Yes, sorry. This one was muted and then I had to put in my password and all that, so it took quite some time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we are on. Yeah, the second one is from the Akama, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Akama is one who has no material desire. A living being, naturally being the part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. Supreme Whole, Purusham Purnam, has as his natural function to serve the Supreme Being, just as the parts and parcels of the body, or the limbs of the body, are naturally meant to serve the complete body. Desireless means, therefore, not to be inert like a stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness as Vajanya Parama Purusha Sukha, sorry, Sukha, Matra Sva Sukhatvam in his Sandharva. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifested even during the conditioned state of a living being in the material world. And such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism, etc., by the undeveloped minds of less intelligent persons. In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing to others in the form of society, community, family, country, or humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which pure living entity feels the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Such superb feelings were exhibited by the dancers of Rajabhumi for the happiness of the Lord. The gopis love the Lord without any return, and this is the perfect exhibition of the Akama spirit. Kama spirit, or the desire for one's own satisfaction, is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of Akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. Parts of about so-called liberation, a pure devotee is aspirant for the satisfaction of the Lord. Influenced by the Karma spirit, Arjuna declined to fight in the Kurukshetra battle because he wanted to save his relatives for his own satisfaction. But being a pure devotee, he agreed to fight on the instruction of the Lord because he came to his senses and realized that satisfaction of the Lord at his own at the cost of his own satisfaction was his prime duty. Thus, he became a Karma, that is, the perfect state of a perfect living being. Mudaradi means one who has a broader outlook. People with desire for material enjoyment worship small demigods, and such intelligence is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita in limit 120 as Vidya Jnana, the intelligence of one who has lost his senses. One cannot obtain any results from demigods without getting sanction from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even for material benefit. Under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with a desire for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And everyone, whether in a karma or sakama or moksha karma, should worship the Lord with great expedience. This implies that Bhakti Yoga may be perfectly administered without any mixture of karma and jnana. As the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called tivra, similarly, unmixed Bhakti Yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for reading this wonderful purport. So, whatever you want, go to Krishna. Some of us, most are not at that elevated level where we don't have any desires. We have desires, we're trying to work on them. We're trying to understand how those are artificial needs and all. But at least just worship the Lord instead of worshipping some man god or some person, thinking that the CEO of our company will give us a raise and we try to massage his ego, whatever. It's better to worship the Lord for whatever you want, because the Lord will purify you. And he will bring you closer to you. He is your real well-wisher. The devis and the devtas, on the other hand, they are only empowered to give you what is needed, what you are asking. They will not be able to help you in going closer to the Lord if that is not your desire. But if you pray to the devis and devtas that I wish to increase my bhakti also, then the devis and devtas can empower you and help you. But on the other hand, if we go to them for material needs and satisfaction, then they will not be able to, they will just satisfy your desire and leave it at that. So it is better to go to the Lord for whatever desires we have. For even if we are not attracted to the Lord, by fulfilling our desire, he will also purify us and increase our attraction to him. So that is the purpose actually. So text 11, and we will end with text 12. Etavanyeva yajatam iha nishreya shodaya bhagavatyachalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. All the different kinds of worshippers of demigods, multi-demigods, can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. Now, how do you get this kind of a thing? Like, look at this. If you worship all the multi-demigods, you can attain the highest perfectional. 1 minute, I'm a little confused here. Let me read this. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional definition, which is spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. So we've discussed this thing. You may worship all the demigods, but if you want to get the highest perfectional benediction of unflinching attraction for the Supreme Lord, you have to be in the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. So you have to choose in life, where is that pure devotee? Where is that bhakti? And I want to go to that person. And I want to serve and associate with that person. If you are choosing to serve and associate other persons, but do they have bhakti in their heart? Then instead of taking their association, you should be giving them your association and teaching them. But if you feel that by being in their association, your own consciousness will get contaminated, then you need to stay away. So the choice is, every time in life, we choose where the pure, where the bhakti is, and we go in that direction, if we are intelligent, like that, wherever bhakti is, wherever the pure devotees are. So text 12, ज्ञानं यदा प्रतिनिवृत्तं, सॉरी दिस इज ब्रह्म संहिता मीटर, ज्ञानं यदा प्रतिनिवृत्तं गुणोर्मिचक्रम् आत्मप्रसाद उत यत्र गुणेष्वसङ्गः कैवल्यसम्मतपठस्त्वथा भक्तियोगा को निर्वृतो हरिकथा सुरतिं न कुर्यात्। Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment, and being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? So this transcendental knowledge will result in this, you know, this you're in the ocean, and there are so many waves and whirlpools you are surrounded by because of all these elements of material nature. But when you have transcendental knowledge, you know, all of these things go away. You're not disturbed by anything. Everything subsides and you're in a very peaceful waters. And with the boat of transcendental knowledge, Jnana Plava, or with the boat of transcendental knowledge, led by the spiritual master, you can cross over this ocean. Now, when you have this transcendental knowledge, which comes by service to the Lord and His devotees, and by hearing very carefully, and by chanting very carefully, then that knowledge is self-satisfying. You become internally very happy. You don't hanker for any material things. And being transcendental, it is approved for by authority. So, when you become happy, you're self-satisfied, then why would you not be attracted? When all these waves and disturbances and anxieties and everything subsides because of transcendental knowledge, and you become self-satisfied and happy, then who would not be attracted? That is what is explained. So, I mean, we can read. We finished first canto. The sixth canto we almost read fully earlier. We read some parts of the eighth canto. You know, we did Kunti Devi's prayers. We did about 2-3 times. So, we've read a lot actually. And we're all studying Bhagavad Gita. We're all attending lectures. We're all engaging in devotional service. You know, we have to sit down and evaluate, where am I headed? Am I making progress? Am I still attached to the same things? Am I still attached to this? Or is my attraction to Krishna increased? If it has not increased, then what is missing based on what I have read so far in the second and third chapters? That means I am not meditating on the Lord enough, or I am not serving enough, or I am not hearing carefully enough, or I am not associating with the right devotees who have bhakti in their hearts enough. So you have to analyze yourself. You know, are these waves of material ocean subsiding? If they are not subsiding, that means I am still not properly situated in transcendental knowledge. Am I after name, fame, or attraction, attachment, prestige, or am I after Krishna? How much do I get affected versus 10 years ago when my husband shouts at me or does not treat me properly? Or am I still reacting in the same way to those same things? Or have I made advancement? Am I not getting affected by that? So all this internal thing you have to do, without which we are not going to make progress. You can keep reading, keep hearing and all, but hearing does not mean just you sit down and hear carefully and remember all the points. Within hearing, the act of work, of applying what you have heard, is included. So when we say hearing, does not just mean you sit and hear conference call or discuss conference call, you sit in the temple and hear lecture, or anywhere you sit down and hear lecture. Within the act of hearing, application is included. So you apply what you have heard. We all have to help each other in applying this bhakti process carefully so that we go deeper. Otherwise, we will be tossed in the waves of material ocean. It's very important to know these things. So are there any thoughts that people would like to share before we end the call? Any points from anyone?
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Pragati here.
Yes, please. Yes, go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I just had one question. So, when we say they are also considered as devotees, right? Like,
yeah.
And if we don't, of course, they, as you said, that they are there for fulfilling all the wishes. But if we don't ask for any wishes and we pray to Krishna at the same time, just because they are the devotees, we just, you know, pray them retired also from, you know, so many years, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm praying Krishna, and then now those idols are there. So I pray them just because, you know, like they're there. So and then I think, okay, they're also the greatest devotees to Lord Krishna. Is that the right way to go about it, or there's any other?
You can pray to them to help you go further in your bhakti towards the Supreme Lord. So then the demigods, the Devi Devatas will help you. And whatever obstructions are there, they will remove. Because they are the controllers, right? Yesterday in class we were reading. Or maybe you had left. But we were reading that in the 8th chapter when we are discussing that, you know, the yogis, some of the yogis, they leave during the daytime in the Shukla Paksha. Right? So why Prabhupada explains that when that happens, then the particular demigods of the Shukla Paksha and of the daytime, then they make proper arrangements so that the soul can be liberated like that. But we don't follow that. Now when we also worship the Lord properly and, you know, we want to get help, then we need the mercy and the blessings of all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas. So we can worship the demigods, but with the akama. No other desire but for Yajeta Purusham Param. So you can pray that please help me in my bhakti to the Lord. Please help me focus. Please make proper arrangements. That is bona fide. You can. Because we don't disrespect. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
But as it is said that you'll get bhakti. So we must also associate with the pure devotees of the Lord. As it is mentioned in this we just read today. So then they can... Then it will be very wonderful.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anyone else would like to share any points?
I have a question.
Yes.
When Krishna ji is going to do everything and then he is supposed to chant the name for a million desires, completion or not completion or anything else, then why there are
So Krishna has a very organized system. It's like when you have a company, you know that the CEO calls the shots for everything. But for everything to run in a very organized fashion, Krishna has given each department an owner. So these devotees, and they're not pure devotees, they're like Sakama devotees, they also have some material desires, but they're very elevated souls and we must respect them and worship them. They are made in charge of various departments. Like that. And they take care of those departments. Like there's the god of fire, Agni Dev, Vayu Dev, water, all of these different Devi Devas, the Devtas are there, that they are in charge of those particular aspects. So like that there are 33 crores. Now, people are at different levels of consciousness. Some people can understand that yes, Lord Krishna is the CEO and you know, and He's empowering all of them. So let me directly worship him. It's like watering the root of the tree. And then the devis and devtas are also pleased. You know, it's not that they become upset. Why are you not worshipping me and you're worshipping Krishna? They are pleased. They are happy. It's like Hanumanji will be happy if you worship Lord Ram. He wouldn't be offended if you're, you know, why are you not worshipping me? He'll be very happy if you're a devotee of Lord Ram. Like that. So there are different people that have different consciousness. Some people can understand that I need to worship Krishna. But some people don't understand. Their intelligence is not so developed. So therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, then wherever your faith develops, I strengthen it. Because some people may, even if they are worshipping certain demigods, they may worship for certain desire, but at least they are accepting there is someone more superior than them who's in control. And gradually as they do that and they understand that, gradually they get purified also. Like that. So they are there because there are different functions they have to manage. And then there are there because also, and they are worshipped also because by some people who are little less intelligent. But just because we are worshipping Lord Krishna does not mean we disrespect them. They are, we must have gratitude for all that they are providing to us. Like that. Is anything else? Anyone? Or anyone would like to add any points to what I have shared so that it can enhance the discussion? Alright, then. Yes, go ahead.
Then, just in my little faith, whatever little faith I have, then when we go to neurologist or pharmacist, acknowledge that Krishnaji is the doer of everything, then we should not go anywhere. We should just be confident in our own actions and take the Ma Mantra Jap very seriously, and then accept whatever is in our life. There is no need to go anywhere. Is that correct? Or am I thinking wrong?
No, that is correct. You can just, if you are completely dependent upon the Lord and the Holy Name, and then you know